clear tonight, low around 14. High near 32 tomorrow, then a chance of snow perhaps Tuesday night. Less than an inch of accumulation, they're saying, in that snow tomorrow night. On this day, we take time to pause to remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his impact on our country and the ongoing efforts for equality for all. With us now to discuss Dr. King and his legacy, a man who had a front row seat for Dr. King's impact on society, Floyd McKissick Jr. Floyd, good morning. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to join you this morning.
Absolutely. Your dad, of course, friends with Dr. King. You were able to witness some of their time together as a young man. What are your memories of Dr. King?
Well, I mean, he was somebody who was a visionary leader. Somebody who was passionate about civil rights, who adopted the principles of Mahatma Gandhi when it came to nonviolent protests. I think of him as a great champion. The times I saw him together with my dad, of course, my dad was the leader of a civil rights organization known as CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality. Back in the 60s, they had over 250 chapters and over 42, 43 states. So my dad and King were both actively involved in civil rights. I saw them, just functioning and operating as two people would, sitting there strategizing and talking about what one organization would do or the other organization would do and what states or places they might be engaged in actively participating. As well as at rallies and on other occasions, marches where they came together with some other civil rights leaders. I remember down in Mississippi where, Dr. King was there with my father and Stokely Carmichael, who was the chairman of SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee at that time, where they were continuing the march of James Meredith across Mississippi. James Meredith was the first black to be admitted to Ole Miss years ago. When he graduated, he announced that he was going to have a march against fear, and the first day into the march, his sniper came along and shot him, and both Dr. King, my father, and Stokely Carmichael announced they'd continue that march, and I joined them on that march. You got to see all of these people firsthand and understand and know their idiosyncrasies.
Because you were around so much with your dad, with Dr. King, what kind of impact, Floyd, did that have on you as a young man, maybe influence you to this day?
Well, one thing I understood is that there could be profound changes brought about in society if people came together, if they worked together collaboratively, cooperatively to seek a higher good and higher goals. And, I grew up in the segregated South. I was among the first students to desegregate public schools over in Durham. In fact, my sisters were ahead of me. But what you could see growing up in that era where there were segregated lunch counters, segregated restaurants, segregated hotels and motels, was the profound change that could come through engaging in protest, engaging in the legal process of getting laws passed that would change what was going on in society, that would bring it into desegregation. We had the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that got rid of sexually segregation in public accommodations and many other aspects of life. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, it opened up opportunities for African Americans to vote in ways they had not done so before, free of discriminatory practices, and fair housing laws of 1968. Before 1968, it was lawful to discriminate against people based upon their race, in either selling or leasing or renting housing. So when you see those type of changes and the profound changes in society that can come, you understand that you need to be a part of that if you want to bring about change. So I'm sure that influenced me in terms of my decision to become an attorney, my decision to run for elected office, to serve on city council, to serve in the state senate, because I knew through the legal process, through that engagement, you could bring about change and create a better society.
What are you trying to pass on now to the future generations that you took from your dad and Dr. King and that you've learned through your life?
Well, I think the important thing is you have to come together, black, white, Latino, whoever it may be, to fight for change and fight for what needs to be done. I get concerned today about the engagement level of young people and understanding the gains that have been made over the last 60 years, and especially as I see an erosion of those gains. You see a Supreme Court decision that brings an end to affirmative action in education. Supreme Court decisions that strike down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, Supreme Court decisions that reverse, access to abortion for women with reversal of Roe v. Wade. you see these profound changes. And more recently, an attack on programs dealing with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Understand that there are things that need to be done in America, that we're not that equal society that Dr. King envisioned. We're not quite that society where people are judged based upon the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And that in the time of reversal, in a time where people are reevaluating their commitment to those goals and aspirations of equality for all, that we have to recommit our efforts to achieving those goals, to achieving those aspirational objectives, to working hard cooperatively, collaboratively to make that happen, to bring that dream to fruition.
As I let you go, I want to change gears on you quickly. You mentioned you spent time in the state Senate. I'm curious, as you look at the culture now on Jones Street, what do you make of how the lawmakers are governing together to work for the common good in North Carolina?
I know when I was in the state Senate, I always tried to find common ground for goals and bills I wanted to get through. I might write that bill that dealt with dysfunction laws, give people a second chance, or to get rid of, you know, things that were on their criminal records in history so they could, you know, rent and housing or buy housing, things of that sort. And I found that if you try to work with people on the other side of the political island, I'm a Democrat, so I was working with Republicans, and you do it cooperatively in their offices, if you try to come up with ways that things can work, that, you know, 75% of the time I could accomplish the objective that I had in mind. I could improve a bill that came out in committee. I could get primary sponsors on bills that otherwise might not have passed, that I might be co-sponsoring with them. But it takes a very, very, a very strong commitment to trying to do so. It is a challenging environment. It is a difficult environment. It can be done. There are good people on both sides of the little island. We have to find, you know, that common ground. And when we cannot achieve common ground, we have to be mutual respectful in our disagreements and not try to demonize folks on the other side that have different ideas. Just understand that their thoughts, their opinions, their perspectives are not ones that we agree with, but they're entitled to them. But find that common ground where you can find it and build upon that common ground in having relationships that are good for the people of the state of North Carolina and that best serve our state's interests.
Former State Senator Floyd McKissick, Jr. Floyd, thank you so much for your time, your perspective this morning. Hope we get a chance to visit on this and other topics in the near future.
Absolutely. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks so much. 8:30.